When you hear the term wild places, what do you think of? Unexplored mountains? The desert? You probably don't think of Kansas, but maybe you should. George Frazier of Lawrence is the author of The Last Wild Places of Kansas. Thanks for joining us, George.
Thank you for having me.
What is a wild place?
So that's a good question, and one that I asked myself when I was in graduate school here in Lawrence, because even though I was born in Kansas and I was in love with the American wilderness, and you know, I spent summers hiking in the West and doing things like that, I always thought of Kansas as a place to come back and study. But like a lot of other people, one day I woke up to the place around me and I said, wow, I would like to experience that feeling that I get looking for wilderness in the West right here in my home state. And that led me to the quest. And some of the answers are sort of difficult about what does wilderness mean in the context of a state like Kansas?
What does wilderness mean?
Well, we don't have any wildernesses like we have out West in terms of spatial extent. Okay, so we don't have a Yosemite National Park or anything like that, but we do have wild places that mattered because Kansas played a significant role in the environmental history of this country, and people forget that here. And so, to me, there are two things. First of all, what is a wild place? And second of all, how do you get to them? And let's take the second one first. Kansas is 98% privately owned. Think about that for a second. 98% of our lands are private property. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. And certainly in terms of the preservation of wild places, it's not, because our private landowners are the best stewards of our wild places because they have such a great connection to the land. But because the demographics of Kansas is changing, and because even though we think of ourselves as a rural people, now over 50% of Kansans live in just 5 urban counties. If you want to get out and experience, you know, the bioregions and the wild places around you, there's only 2% of public land, and it creates a frustrating impediment and a strange situation if you want to develop a sense of place. So, in that context, I try to avoid using the term wilderness in Kansas. Instead, you know, a Chinese geographer has said that space plus culture equals place. And so I started just using this term wild place. And so to me, a wild place is a place that may have unusually high levels of biodiversity, unusual or threatened plant or animal species, exclamations of topography. But more than anything, these places, for some reason or another, they hold stories. So you might go and find, say, a spring in Chase County, and it's a really magnificent, pristine site with watercress and virgin prairie around it. And if you know, say, for example, your grandmother lived there, she may have stories about that place from when she was a girl. And it turns out that oftentimes there are even Native American stories that predate it. So these stories span generational and cultural boundaries. And it's fascinating. And there are so many places like that in Kansas, but they're not, for the most part, in our state parks or public reservoirs. Many are on private property, and many are in places that you wouldn't expect to look.
Two of the places that you explore are not out in the middle of nowhere. They're in suburban Kansas City. Take us there.
Yeah, so I grew up in Overland Park, and I was amazed to find that there are two springs, you know, one in Kansas City, Kansas, and one in Johnson County, that have an association with Shawnee traditionalist leaders that are relatively unknown, and when I was growing up, completely unmarked. One of them is the grave of the Shawnee prophet at the White Feather Spring in the Argentine district of Kansas City, Kansas. So the Shawnee prophet was Tecumseh's brother, and together they led a pan-Indian confederacy to resist American settlement in their homelands in Ohio and Indiana. And eventually, skipping many of the details, you can read my book to find them, the prophet came to Kansas when the Shawnees when the Shawnees moved to the Indian Territory in Kansas. His name was Tenskwatawa, or the Shawnee prophet. And he set up his final sort of prophet's town above an ancient spring that we know has existed from the time of the Kansa and back hundreds and hundreds of years. In the 1930s, it was the only spot that didn't dry up during the Depression in that region, so people came and got water from it. And why did he pick this site above this beautiful spring? I don't know, but he did. And today you can amazingly go see the spring still running, and it's in a, you know, very settled part of Kansas City, Kansas. And the Eastern Shawnee Tribe, I may have the details wrong, but some of the Shawnee groups now have purchased this land and are doing some work to kind of improve the site where the grave probably is. But you know, this is a place that's been there for a long time. Locals know about it, but I didn't. And it's a wild place because, you know, the Shawnees were associated with the site, and it's been there for hundreds of years, and it's amazing. It's perhaps the least wildernessy area in the whole book. But you can go then 27 miles away, and in southern Johnson County is another spring, and amazingly, it's associated with another Shawnee traditionalist, Black Bob. And, you know, a lot of people drive on Black Bob Road and sure. They say, what the heck is that? Or maybe they don't even think about it. Turns out he led a very secretive clan of the Shawnees that kind of just wanted to keep to themselves and keep things going like they were before they were moved to the West. And when they were in Johnson County, they probably, the history's a little iffy here, they associated around this cave called the Black Bob Cave on private property. A huge spring runs out of the cave. It looks like the Ozarks when you're there. And it's almost impossible to believe that if you walk a few feet out, you're surrounded by these large Johnson County-type houses. And the history is fantastic and interesting around that cave. But it's just an example that if you know how to look, you can find wild places anywhere.
George, can I get you to read an excerpt from your book?
Oh, yeah. So this is at the end of a chapter where I talk about old growth forest and the amazing pecan grove at Fort Leavenworth Woods. Whether it fits our national self-image or not, much of American history is gathered in the grass, strewn haphazardly behind old barns and in fields, cached in undiscovered archaeological sites and ghost towns, and harbored in the little clumps of wilderness that still remain. Our American identity is an oil painting on a canvas of wilderness. The Fort Leavenworth Woods is still a remarkable wild place. The paths beneath these pecans were the first to feel the footsteps of Kansas explorers, yet they remain paths, not parking lots. The lives of the oldest trees span a mythic period of cultural and environmental change, no less than revolutionary when taken as a whole. The ground under the Fort Leavenworth Woods has harbored many lines that divided clashing forces, lines dividing civilization from Indian country, fading cultures like the Nez Perce and the Kansa from the onslaught of manifest destiny, lost species such as the Carolina parakeet from extinction, the abolitionist fervor of Leavenworth, Lawrence, and Free State Kansas from the stubborn clutches of slavery in Weston, ancient wild ecosystems from the rest of the mowed down, plowed under, railroaded, drywalled, urbanized, suburbanated lands that dominate Kansas today. A few trees at Fort Leavenworth and in the cross timbers are older than the entire written history of Kansas, born in a time when people still spoke languages that evolved to describe the landscape of prairie and forest and sky. Unlike the Wailing Wall or the Temple Mount or Vatican or Stonehenge, iconic monuments made from brick, stone, and timber, this forest is an actual living thing, although virtually unknown to most people who live near it. It remains a no man's land. For both sides of those dividing lines, I hope it stays that way.
That's The Last Wild Places of Kansas, Journeys into Hidden Landscapes by George Frazier of Lawrence. George, congratulations on being a Kansas Notable winner.
Thank you so much for having me.